It was a riddle, not a command, by Joseph de Monde. Chapter 22. Born on the Feasts of Trumpets. Page 97. Having stated all in which we have now shared with you, is it possible to know the date of the Messiah's second coming? But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labour pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 5. We who profess to be followers of Yahweh are to understand these things. We are not to be stumbling about in the darkness like the rest of the world is. We are to be ready so as not to be surprised as if a thief in the night had sneaked up on us in stealth mode. When we keep the holy days and have the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, then we know who the thief in the night is. It is Yeshua who comes on the Feast of Trumpets. We are supposed to be watching for him on this night. It is the night that two witnesses are needed to confirm the crescent moon. In knowing what the holy days represent, we can then understand that the expression, "but of that day and hour no one knows," is again a Hebrewism or a Hebrew idiom. It is an expression which is known and readily understood within the framework of the cultural context of ancient Bible times. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Matthew 24, verses 32 to 41. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24, verses 42 to 51. In this passage, our Messiah says a number of things, but most people stop at, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." They don't read or grasp what is being said when he says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Here we are told to watch and be hypervigilant, and yet many of us who presume to be his sheep don't know the hour. But can we at least say we now know the day? And why can't we know the hour? Let this be food for serious thought. In the meanwhile, Yeshua then admonishes us concerning the thief in the night. He would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24, verses 43 to 44. Again, we are told at an hour we do not expect, but also he does not say we won't know the day. But as for the evil servant, only he says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. He makes the distinction that it is the evil servant who will not know the day or the hour. Why? Because that evil servant, namely the five foolish virgins, will not be keeping the holy days and watching as they, or we, are commanded to be in the business of doing on this most critical day of days. Because of their or our spiritual blindness and hardness of heart, they, or we, will not expect the Messiah to come on this day, the Feast of Trumpets, which is all about his second coming on this very day, the day of shouting. I will quote Paul again. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Why did Paul not need to address the Thessalonians concerning the times and seasons? What is he talking about here? Paul is talking about the holy days they kept in strict accordance with the biblical calendar. That is, during the appropriate seasons. They were keeping the holy days correctly, in other words. So what does this all mean? For one, it means the holy days are shadow pictures of good things yet to come. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. Colossians 2, verses 16 to 17. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. Hebrews 8, verses 4 to 5. In other words, let no man judge you in food, drink, festivals, or with regard to new moons or Sabbaths. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices repeated, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Who are you to judge a servant who is not yours? For if he stands to his master, and if he falls to his master, for it is appointed to his master to be able to establish him. There is one who distinguishes one day from another, and there is another who judges all days the same, but let every person be certain in his own mind. Romans 14, verses 4 to 5. The Thessalonians were keeping the holy days correctly and understood the true meaning and full import of each day. Each holy day represented a part of our Father's plan of salvation for mankind. I think we all know this by now. But do we forget that the sabbatical years and the Jubilee years are also shadow pictures of good things still to come? The evil servant, or those of us who will not obey Yahovah, his Torah and his laws, will not know the day or the season for the simple reason he or she will refuse to or fail at keeping the holy days at the correct times, on the correct days, or even at keeping them at all. The evil servants who have believed and or been taught amiss will be thinking he will come back at any time, any hour, and on any day. They will be blown about by every wind and wave of false doctrine that comes down the pike and hinging their faith regarding his second coming on every baseless theory and scenario that comes along. The good servants, however, will have already made themselves ready. Their garments for the wedding feast will have been washed and made as white as the driven snow, as well as pressed, laid aside and ready to wear at a moment's notice on the given day leading up to the exact given hour. They will be ready because these good and faithful servants, or five wise virgins, will be watching for the Feast of Trumpets. Read Matthew 25 and Matthew 22, word for word, line upon line and precept upon precept, to make yourself ready, but also take note of the servants who are working to increase the talents or money left to them by the king. Translated and decoded, this means to increase the measure of the Holy Spirit bestowed upon us and at work within us, backdating to the time in which we were first called. It could not hurt either to pray for a double or extra measure of Yahovah's Spirit as well, just to be on the safe side. How much have you grown spiritually and grown rich in the fruits of the Spirit? If we do not first come to possess the fruits of the Spirit and instead seek only after the gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders, we may become puffed up. Without the fruits, there still remains a good chance, he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Exactly how alive and on fire is his Spirit within you? How zealous are you to learn of and share his word with others? How much do you hunger and thirst after him, and, like Isaiah, say, "Here I am, send me"? But getting back to the hour and the day, what day are we talking about? As I have stated before, it is the Feast of Trumpets. This is the day the Messiah is to return. This is the day Yeshua was born in 3 BC. And because it is the Feast of Trumpets, this is why we won't know the exact hour. All the research I have presented you with points, all the research I have presented you with points to the Feast of Trumpets beginning on the first day of the seventh month, or Tishri. More specifically, it begins when the new moon can first be seen in Jerusalem. This is Tishri 1 and the Feast of Trumpets. In times past, once the new moon was spotted, at least two witnesses had to immediately report back to the temple and inform the guard, who would, in turn, notify the high priest. The high priest would then call upon the two witnesses to come forward to be questioned, so he could ensure they saw the silver crescent of the new moon and that the sun had set before they saw it. Once the high priest was satisfied, he would summon the Sanhedrin and announced the Feast of Trumpets was at hand and command the trumpets to be blown, thus announcing the Feast of Trumpets to all. In like fashion, we are told in the book of Malachi that the two witnesses are going to come before the day of the Lord of Yahovah. "Behold, I am sending you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahovah, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the sons, and the heart of the sons to their fathers, that I not come and strike the earth with utter destruction." Malachi 4, verses 5 to 6. Daniel also talks about the two witnesses at the time of the end, after the king of the north destroys the king of the south. In this verse, the word translated as sanctuary should be translated as saints. It is the saints who will be trampled. "Then I heard a certain holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that one who spoke, 'Until when shall the vision last concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression that astounds, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled?'" Daniel 8, verse 13. In Revelation, we read that what these two witnesses are to do and how they are to die after 3.5 years of work. They die on the Feast of Passover, which means they begin to work on the Feast of Trumpets, the same way in which we have two witnesses come forward on the Feast of Trumpets to testify to the sighting of the moon, which then is the start of the day of shouting when the Messiah is to come. There are many who will sharply disagree with my conclusions, but please give careful thought to all of what I have just shared as I apply it to the here and now. Everyone is waiting for this shout out to usher in the feast, but are still tied up at their jobs, working overtime, juggling more than one job, or stuck in a juggernaut on the freeway after getting off work. But they have already made their garments white, spotless, and have pressed them. Even the food for the feast has been prepared well in advance and is ready and waiting. And yet no one knows when the shofar or trumpet is to blow, so they keep on working. Two in the field working side by side. One will be taken and one will remain. Two women kneading bread side by side. One will be taken and one will remain. When the Messiah returns on the Feast of Trumpets, no one will know the hour nor the day. How so? Because they won't know again if the moon is going to be sighted the day of or the following day. I am referring to a crescent moon with only a 1% visibility. A moon with 2% or more should be easily seen. But they will know the feast day is at hand and very close to being announced. Once the crescent moon is sighted, there is a brief procedure to go through before it is declared official. Finally, the heads up is given, the shofars are blown, and the Messiah returns. If those who are chosen are taken while their fellow workers are left behind, how can this be a feast day if they are still working? If it was a conjuncture moon, it would have been predicted in advance and a day or two before. But because it is a sighted visible crescent moon, signifying the onset of the first day of the new month, and given the first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets and a holy day, coupled with the fact that we are talking about the seventh month, which is called Tishri, they will not know the day or the hour it is to begin because it is cited, and they will not know for certain whether it is the day of or the following day that the feast begins. This is why the brethren will still be found working alongside those who are not in the way of keeping the holy days at the right time or during the right month. We know Yeshua followed the pattern of the spring holy days right down to the last detail at his first coming. Therefore, we can expect him to fulfill the fall holy days in keeping with his second coming, right down to the last detail as well. Prepare your garments now, by seeing to it they are white, spotless, without blemish or wrinkle, and ready to be thrown on when the shofar is finally blown. Don't be the one, or let your children and or your grandchildren be the ones, told by the groom, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Don't be counted amongst the five foolish virgins who forego keeping the holy days and knowing the time of his second coming. Get ready now. He is coming, and coming soon. Will you be ready?